Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul.
And it's Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day, Rally Sally, darling. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Anyway, this is Terry Raposa and Lynn Carpenter. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, and you?
Doing well.
Good.
We are broadcasting live from KCNR, 1460 AM.
In a secret location.
Yes, a secret location in the bunker.
In the bunker, yeah. Sometimes it feels like that.
96.5 FM.
Okay.
Your talk radio. We are streamed live, and we are archived and podcasted. So how are you this morning, my friend?
So far, so good. It's a beautiful day in Jefferson.
Good. No one's hurt you yet, then. Good.
No. Nah.
Maybe the day will stay that way.
Yeah, who knows?
It is Mother's Day. Yeah. So, you know, today is the time to
celebrate motherhood.
Celebrate motherhood.
Yep.
And make sure that the moms and your wives out there are totally spoiled today. They deserve it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, what we have going tomorrow night at 2570 South Bonneview Road at the Church Ashley.
To be
it shall remain nameless. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
The Nameless Church. The church called Nameless.
It does have a name. They just don't want to associate with anything political.
Oh, okay. Or
wait,
liberty.
Wait until they get to the pearly gates.
Yep.
I didn't say that. That was Wynn Carpenter.
And Bradley said it.
Anyway, we will be having Jeanette Finnicum. And Jeanette is the widow of Lavoie Finnicum, who was killed.
Murdered.
By state police.
Yep, up in Oregon.
And she has a wrongful death lawsuit against the state of Oregon.
Killers.
Rightfully so.
Yep, killers.
Yep, it's a terrible thing. Anyway, she'll be our meeting tomorrow night. She is going to be showing part two of a movie that was done by Lavoie. It's called Dead Man Talking. It's part two. We showed part one with Jeanette hosting that. I believe it was about 6 months ago, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Something
been a
like
while,
that.
Yeah.
Anyway, she'll be coming in. We're excited about that. She'll also be up at Tuesday night. She'll be up in the Yreka area. We also have a couple of events going on. A State of Jefferson fundraiser that's going to be going on Saturday, June 15th, at the Utica Park. I don't know if that's an acronym or not. It's U-T-I-C-A, but it's in capital letters, so it might be an acronym. And if it is, man, that's a long name. But we'll call it Utica Park, Angels Camp, California. The doors open at noon. Lunch will be served from 12:30 to 3:30. It's $15 a person, $25 a couple, and $5 for those 10 years and younger. There'll be prizes, and there'll be a special drawing worth $500, hot dogs, hamburger, salad. Oh, local wine and craft beer. Hey, Wynn.
There you go. Let's go.
Lots of family fun. You know, you can get your VIT tickets now before they are sold out. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can get those event tickets, I want to say. I'm trying to read this, and I can't really tell, but I think it says Spur Our Guns. In Copperopolis? Is that
Copperopolis?
Copperopolis.
Yes. Yep, right
and
there.
And there's a Jefferson booth also at the Frog Jump, which is going to be happening May 16th through the 19th. There'll be a Jefferson booth there with gear and with information. That'll be happening, as I said, May 16th through the 19th from 10 a.m. to closing at the Calaveras County Fairgrounds. So there's a lot of stuff going on in Calaveras. We're excited for them. And if you have anything out there that you have as an event or something coming up, we'd love to hear it. Call us at 530-605-4567, 605-4567. if you have anything out there as far as an event in the state of Jefferson, because we do want to hear from them, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes. We want to know what's going on.
What you got there new there, buddy?
Not much. Nothing to report yet.
Nothing to report yet.
We're working behind the scenes very hard, and we'll have some updated information coming.
We will.
Soon.
And we do have an election coming here, and I just wanted to say one thing about it. There's an election that's between Brian Dowley and Kevin Kiley. And it's, you weigh who you like, vote for who you want. But it's funny because I got a flyer from the Kevin Kiley campaign saying that Brian Dowley took money from PG&E with a PAC, $400,000, and then he took over $600,000 in public employee union from union bosses, and he misled the people by saying that Kevin Kiley had never met Kamala Harris, even though there's a picture that shows him with her. Could be photoshopped. Then I got an email from Brian Dowley's campaign about how Kevin Kiley took $500,000 from the unions. And, you know, there should be something for these guys, or at least something that we have in our elected process, to where you've got to prove what you say. I mean, you know, these guys are both going after each other, and I get that. But, you know, what's the truth and what's not the truth? I mean, one says it is, one says it isn't. Well, it's just politics. Well, okay, well, if they can't tell us the truth now, then, gosh, you know, so
well,
anyway.
Well, the scary part is, too, they're both currently assembly members. So if they can't tell us the truth in their current campaign, are they telling us the truth when they're doing their job?
Yeah,
I don't know. I just...
A lot of it could be their campaigns. I don't know if it's really them as much as there's a lot of people that do stuff
PACs. I would hope that they would be...
The buck would stop there?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They would have to be the one to sign off on anything that goes out. And if not, then they're doing themselves a huge disservice.
Well, it's just, you know, the thing is it's sort of like what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Amen.
But, you know, I mean, really and truly, I mean, you know, there's a... It makes it tough to weigh in any election when you're getting stuff that comes out there that, you know, is not the truth. But what's funny is they both seem to be blaming each other for the same thing.
Especially if you're on the fence.
Yeah.
If you're on the fence about either one of them and then you keep getting all this stuff, then you're like, you know, it just muddies the water that much more for you.
Well, you know, again, it's one of those things where, you know, one guy says the other guy's taking union money. The other guy says the other guy's taking union money.
So you're both taking it.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Move on.
And then one guy says you're for the amnesty. And the other guy says, well, no, you're for amnesty. And
so they're both for it. So then
you move on.
Next
you know, issue. I mean, you kind of scratch your head after a while. But
anyway,
such is life. And, you know, hopefully it'll all shake out in the end. I just found that interesting. It was just kind of funny. And a day apart, I get they're accusing each other of the same thing.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe you got the same people that run their campaign teams. I don't know. I mean,
could be. Maybe they.
And that's really not fair to the campaign teams. And that's not fair to the people who are actually, you know, trying to help them with their election. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that, you know, some of this stuff comes out from PACs and things like that. That I know that when at one time there was a gentleman running for Senate, and I talked to him about something that had come out about his opponent. And he said, well, you know, that was my PAC that did that. I didn't really want him to do it, but they did it. I can't control everything they did. So I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know in a PAC, though, if you are the chairman of a PAC, you're responsible legally and financially.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with an association, where it's different in a corporation, where the corporation is a separate entity.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, maybe that's – so I don't know. But anyway, it'd be nice to know if we could get straight answers out of everybody, you know. Or at least just, you know, just – I mean, not even straight answers, but
– Dreamer.
Gosh, yeah,
dreamer.
Yeah, I know. That's me. I dream on. But what we're going to do, though, is we're going to take a break now early because – oh.
Because we're being –
Do you have something, Ashley?
I was trying to get you to get closer to your mic. You keep getting farther and farther away.
Do I? Does that make me quieter and quieter?
No.
Yes, and then you turn back, and it gets, like, super loud. So.
Because he has such a
For all our listeners
quiet
out there,
voice.
This is how we do mic lessons.
You know, I just can't do anything right.
Nope. Not on Mother's Day.
Right.
Happy Mother's Day, Ashley.
I'm not a mom.
I know, but happy Mother's Day.
I will relay that to my mother.
Happy Mother's Day anyway. Anyway, what we're going to do is we'll go off to our first break here. Once Ashley's off the phone, we have a guest coming on, Sharon Durst. We're excited about that. This might be her on the line right now, and if it is, we're just going to have her hold quickly through, I guess. Let's see here. You want to go to a quick break here, Ashley, and then that's Sharon, yeah?
Yes, it is.
Okay, let's go to that quick break, and then we'll go right to Sharon. Time has come.
For 51.
One. Yeah. Jefferson, AAA number 51. We believe in freedom. We believe in God and guns. We believe in working hard till the working day is done. Teach your children to follow their hearts. Teach them right from wrong. One day this will be their land. And this will be their song, yeah.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Closer to my mic. Is this close enough?
That'll do.
Is this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me, Wynn?
Can hear you now.
Okay.
I'm just a brat, but I think most people know that.
You're a lovable brat, though. I have to admit that.
It helps being cute.
It does.
Anyway, on the line, we have our good friend, Sharon Durst from El Dorado County. Sharon, how are you? And happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm fine.
Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Wynn.
Anyway, we'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself. Can you give us like a short bio of yourself?
A bio of myself?
Yeah,
well,
a bio.
I grew up in Butte County. I went through Chico schools. I went to Davis until I got married. I was married two times. Didn't work out. And so I started a business in West Sacramento called Bullet Guard. And today my kids run it. And that gives me time to do things like more equals less.
That's fantastic.
Because I've been a State of Jefferson supporter since I was in high school, and particularly when the Reynolds versus Sims judgment came down. But I, like probably everybody else listening to this radio station in those years and until just a few years ago, really had no idea that 80 people in the Assembly and 435 in the House wasn't the way it was supposed to be done.
Well, that's true. And you came up with a really neat brochure and a great idea. Tell us a little bit about that and give us kind of a ballpark on what happened with all of that. How did you come up with that, and what's your thought process on where we go from here with?
Well, how I came up with it was that I thought, okay, we want to have thousands of people now in the House of... I want to clarify that more equals less is not about the state of Jefferson. It's about the House of Representatives. Because this is not just a problem, what I came to realize, but this is not just a problem here in California. It's a problem nationwide that was, again, created largely, not exclusively, but largely by Reynolds versus Sims, and the other part by the 1929 Apportionment Act. So once you realize that and really understand it, you begin to say to yourself, how are we going to correct this? How are we going to bring back the number of representatives that the founding fathers wanted us to have? And so it took me a couple years of thinking it out, and I tried to do my best to put it in words on a piece of paper and get it printed.
I'm looking at
Wynn.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny. I've got to tell you this. There was that pause right there.
That pregnant pause.
Yes. And looking at Wynn, it looked like he was going to say something.
No, I'm just enthralled with what she's saying.
You're awfully quiet this morning.
I am.
You are. Usually you'd pop right in there. Anyway, that's pretty interesting stuff, and you're absolutely right. I know in 1911 they capped the House of Representatives.
And then they solidified it with the 1929 Apportionment Act.
Absolutely correct.
Why did they do that? Do you have any idea?
Well, I don't really. I've tried to research why they did it. I get all kinds of different things. I think the truth lies somewhere underground. I think, as I put in more equals less, I think we, from the very beginning of this country, there were people, particularly of royalty, who, like King George, who didn't want us to become a country. And I don't think those people ever really went away. And I think some of them then became, not those people in particular, but I mean the thought process, went into global companies, big corporations that are globally run. In the 19th century, we had the rise of the magnates, and their thinking was different than the average American thinking. And I think a lot of it had to do also with the rise of Marxism for socialism. All those things combined make what I call the kings.
So it's all about control then?
Always.
It's all about control.
Fewer of them controlling, the more chance they have to have control individually. So that's...
You can buy 435 or 80. You cannot buy 3,500, which is what we should have in the House.
Correct. See, that's exactly right. You're exactly right. It comes down to the money factor where... companies, organizations, individuals, they can buy off all the elected officials and people who are supposedly representing us. And if they had a far greater number, it would be more impossible for them to do that, more likely to be impossible for them to do that. Therefore, they keep the number halted to the low number that currently exists, then they have a better chance of doing that.
Exactly. They've been very successful at doing it.
That's right.
There's not a chance anymore. They've completed it. They've made it happen.
That's right.
For themselves. Okay. And that's why we're in great danger of losing America. When the founding fathers envisioned this, they based the Constitution upon the people running the government through the House.
Yes.
That whole Constitution is based upon that. Of people running a government in a way that it protected the people from the government.
Well, in Articles the First, which Eugene Laverne, who has a court case, Laverne versus the House of Representatives, in his particular court case, he does prove and show that the First Amendment wasn't really the First Amendment. It was Articles the First. It had to do with representation. And there was apportionment that was basically laid out for basically about one for every 50,000 by the time it was all said and done. And actually, the benchmark that they wanted to hold to was one for every 30,000. Now, there's still process and litigation going on with this. There is a challenge with it, however, and we won't get into Articles of the First right now because that would take quite a bit of time. Janet Chandler has done a complete study on it, read Eugene's book, et cetera. We'll have her on maybe next week and then maybe have you on the week after. And you guys...
I've read his book, too.
Yeah. Just so the folks out there know about Articles of the First.
Yeah.
That's the idea. So
I'm in agreement that it should be one for 30,000, but because it is so difficult for Americans to just even accept the idea that there should be 1,000 people in the House, it's just they can't grasp it. They're having a really hard time with it because it's, for some of people alive today, this capping of it goes back to their great grandparents.
Well, absolutely.
We've lived with it all. I didn't think it was anything untoward until Mark Baird started educating me.
Right. Now the thing is, you're looking at approximately 360 million citizens in the US. And then you break it down to being having a representative represent 30,000. That gives you 12,000 representatives that we would need to have versus the 435 we currently have.
And if I may add to that, this isn't a matter of whether or not that's the benchmark. That is the benchmark.
Correct.
According to the records of Articles the First, which was discovered in the archives of Connecticut and Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah.
And so it has been basically ratified. The challenge with this whole thing is really and truly, if something was done back in 1789... then what happens to everything that's been done since then? In other words, if there's been laws passed and all that stuff, does that become all moot and void? Or is there a caveat in the court case, which is basically proving that Articles the First exists? If that's the case, do we have that be so it's not retroactive and starts from a certain period moving forward? It was sort of like Obama's birth certificate. I mean, you know, if they would approve that by the time they got around to it, wouldn't everything that had passed, whether good or bad for the American people, during the first 4 years of his presidency, would it be moot and void? That's, I think, a big issue, and I think that's what the Supreme Court is a little nervous about.
Well, it would clean things up. In one regard, it could clean things up back to 1789, so then you would have a clean slate in which to start from, and hopefully you would have, with that process, people would learn and understand what's going on, and I'm talking about the citizens, and then they could hold their representatives accountable and hold their feet to the fire. And with having that many representatives, do you think they would be able to whistle through some of these jackass laws that we've got going against us? I don't think so.
Sharon, with your brochure and sending this out, what's your thought process in getting the word out? And I've read the brochure, and folks, it's amazing. It really is amazing.
Thank you.
We definitely want to make sure that the word gets out on that. You had mentioned that social media has been pretty good with it. You've got a pretty good handle on that. What's your thought process in getting the word out with that, and how can people help you out there?
Well, I first want to have the listenership understand that the idea of growing the House to that number of people is, like I say, very hard to accept. And so I think we need a little education. All our people here listening, they understand. But the rest of the country doesn't necessarily understand. In fact, they don't understand. And so they're going to have to be our emissaries to educate the rest of the country through sending them More Equals Less, through talking to them, just like what happened with our 23 counties. Our 23 counties started up in your area, and now they've gone all the way down to Mariposa, and who knows what other counties in the state that understand the same problem. Because we've been able to, for the last 5 years, educate people. We need to do that same thing and start moving it east. Okay, so that the Americans begin to understand that this is a problem and it is the root of the problems. We get distracted by all the other things going on around us in the news, and we keep forgetting that we have to come back to what the real problem is, that it is lack of representation. And as far as getting it out at this point in time, I'm relying on our listenership to do what they've always been doing, only spread it out. You know people out in the rest of the states. You don't just know everybody right here. Get the word out. I mean, we know that there are movements in Nevada, Washington, Hawaii, Illinois, and so on. But we just have a hard time finding them. Even online, we have a hard time finding
them. Well, I think that's true. And I think another thing about that, too, is the fact that there are so many different ways that people think they can do something. You know, there's only one way you can do something, and that's constitutionally. But there's other ways that people are doing. I mean, we have, you know, these characters in New California, for example. I mean, here these guys are saying we're going to use the West Virginia model. Yes, but you're forgetting one thing. West Virginia split from Virginia because of a thing called sedition and a thing called insurrection. We haven't, if we can prove insurrection against the state of California, we certainly could create the state of Jefferson. But remember that those particular things, insurrection and sedition, require violence.
Well, and they
haven't seen that.
They wanted to separate from the Union. That was the purpose of that.
Right. Well, so, that's right.
But, and so
we don't want to separate from the Union.
No.
I believe that what I've outlined in More Equals Less is constitutional.
No, we didn't explain that properly.
No. I was saying that Virginia wanted to separate from the Union, like California has professed at times. And if California does that, we will follow the Virginia model. However, we don't have that opportunity yet, so we have to do it the way we are doing it.
Right.
Legally, morally, and ethically through the court process.
The way that you're doing it.
The way you're doing it.
What we're doing is basically agreeing with you, but showing other examples of when we get the word out to different areas, they think they can do it in a certain way, and they can't do it that way because it's unconstitutional, and the criteria hasn't been met for sedition or insurrection. But
the problem we have is that to do it constitutionally, we have to have the attention of the House and the Senate. And there's no way we're going to get that individually.
No, there isn't. There's
no way that 23 counties in Northern California, that the Congress that represents 750,000 people, each one of them, are going to listen to us. And so if we can make it across the country a movement like the Tea Party, like a turning point, like the Stop Smoking and all those kind of movements, were started by just a group of people like us. And so if we can get this going where all these other states I just mentioned are also hammering at the door of Congress and saying, you know, you need to let us in.
And they are, and that's very true. The other thing is, too, is that because of the situation in California.
Microphone.
Oh, sorry. I leaned away from my microphone.
He's like a dog, you know, when a squirrel goes by.
Anyway, so what's happened is that, again, because of the state of California and the mess it's in, and frankly, Congress recognizing that. In fact, we did have a congressman who was very pro-Jefferson in a fundraiser that was done about 2 weeks ago, which was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. We need to get everybody on board in the United States. But again, you've got to go back to and understand that, and that's why I think we're going to have Janet on to explain Articles of the First and go through it. Because it probably will take a program. Well, it will take a program.
Yeah.
Because again, if that's found to be correct, it is correct, but if they allow it to become part of the Constitution, okay, because it's already been ratified. If they allow that, then what's going to happen is we don't control how the ratio and benchmark would work. Articles of the First did that. Now, there could maybe be some tweaking, like you were talking about, which would be good, and nobody wants 12,000 representatives. So the deal is that there's a lot of factions going into this. But I really think you're onto something here. I really think that you're correct about what you're saying. Representation is it. And I really believe that your brochure and your idea is something we've got to reach out and get that out to people. But something else, Sharon, it's going to take some people talking to people. It's going to take maybe even somebody stumping a bit, you know, in each state talking about it. Because we can do a lot with the brochures to get the ball rolling and stuff, but you're absolutely right. This is what we need to do as far as representation. This is exactly what we need to do. We need to make sure that everybody in the United States understands that representation is the big problem.
Yes, we do. And even though I agree with a lot that you've said, and about going back in history, what do we do about what the laws and so on that have already been passed, I personally think that should not be made an issue because when you start opening that can of worms, you can go lots of different directions that you don't want to go into. And
right.
I think we just need to start from square one. The reason I say a minimum of 3,500 is because we live in a different world today. We do have a lot of technology, and we don't have to get to our representative doesn't have to get to the house by horse and buggy. So we can utilize a lot of technology we have. By that thinking, we can possibly increase the number of representatives per person because we do have 350 or 60 million people. And even our sister countries like Great Britain, New Zealand, Australia, and Canada, their ratio is one for every 100,000, which is 750 times better than what we have.
Well, you said one for every 3,500. What did you mean?
No, she meant 3,500 representatives.
3,500 representatives.
Which,
is that what you meant?
3,500 representatives, which would be one for every 100,000.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's it.
Okay, that's I'm saying that would be the minimum.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. You know, that's far better than what we have going on.
And I agree with you. I mean, there's certainly no disagreement here. You're absolutely correct. The challenge is that Articles of First has already gotten out on the table. That's the challenge. I mean, it's already there. It's already on the table. That's what's that position is already there. But you're right about what you're saying.
But nonetheless, I don't know that we need to exacerbate it.
I agree. But I agree with you 100%. But I think that the understanding of it is something that does open the door in what you're saying.
Well, yeah. And you do need to understand, and you do need to know what's going on. But
you made a really good point, a really, really good point, as a matter of fact, when you stated that, you know, we could sort of bring something around. Well, understanding that when this came out, you could actually take that, if it happened, and amend it. You know, if it does come to fruition, which I don't think it will, I think that what you're doing here and what we're all going to be helping you with, I think is really, I agree with you. I think it's the way to go. But the deal with Articles the First, if something does come of that, then we can always push to amend it also.
Absolutely.
To where we get the ratio to where it's more in line with what reality is.
Well, it's got to be much more palatable, or otherwise, why bother?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, my rural landline phone is getting a little staticky on me, and I'm trying hard to hear what you're saying. I don't know how much longer you want to keep this discussion going.
No,
as long as you want to, I'm more than willing. But
sure.
I do have a little statement I want to make before we close it off.
Yep.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, what I want to say is, the narrative in More Equals Less is lack of representation and dilution of vote, just what we've been fighting for in Citizens for Fair Representation. Okay? That's really what it's all about, excepting it just broadens it to go across the nation. So I've called it Americans Restoring Representation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have this little equation that I made that I personally thought was pretty appropriate. So it goes like this. The problem is lack of representation, which causes dilution of vote. Dilution of vote equals no vote. No vote equals no republic. No republic equals no constitution. No constitution equals no America.
Amen. I love it. Good girl.
Yep.
Hey, can you give us your phone number and how we get a hold of these brochures? And also one other thing, too. Can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you through the static.
Okay. Because if you go back and listen to the archive, which will be up, gosh, probably by 10:30 anyway, if you go back and listen to the archive on this, you'll be able to hear what we said. You have been fantastic. Thank you so much. You'll also find that there's a I think we came to something today to where people could actually sink their teeth into this. You've done a great job on this. Getting the word out is what we need to do. How do we do that? Can you give us a phone number, email address, et cetera, so we can go ahead and get the word out on this thing?
Well, I'm so passionate about representation and getting our country back and getting a republic back, which is going to be the next one I write, if we are a little bit successful with this, is going to be less versus more, okay, which is going to be about how it has affected our republic. We need to get our republic back once we get our representation. It's an equal problem, as that, like I stated in my equation here. So I'm so passionate about it that I went ahead and I printed this on my own, and I'm not asking for people to pay for it. Now, I'm not a wealthy person, but nonetheless, I'm not asking people to pay for it, but if you want to, each one cost me 20 cents, and I will send it out to you if you want to pay for the postage. That's your discretion. But I really, more than anything, want to get the word out and get this movement going. I think time is short. We need to really move on this. My phone number is 530-647-1909. My email address for Jefferson is SOJEDC, which stands for El Dorado County, at gmail.com. So you can contact me either way, and I will package up some more equals less and send them off to you.
Sharon Durst, happy Mother's Day, my dear, and thanks again for all you're doing.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sharon.
I appreciate the opportunity.
You betcha. And time has come
for 51.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit soj51.net and donate now to show your support.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
By yourself. We're back.
Well, thanks Sharon again for all the work that she's doing.
Oh, yeah,
she's
sure.
A true patriot.
She's the bomb.
She keeps us.
She's great.
She keeps us on the straight and narrow. She's good about that. She's a good patriot.
Well, thanks, she's really Sharon. Got a good idea there. I mean, she really does.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and flyer is really well done.
Yeah.
And it's an easy read, and it's factual. It's got great information. So get your hands on those.
Absolutely. Anyway, we have Nick on the line.
Hey, Nick.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing terrific. I've got a question for Sharon. Are you single and do you want to go steady?
She would say yes and no.
You guys are so mean. Hey, I loved what she had to say.
Isn't she great? I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wondered if there's a solution in there.
There is.
Okay, that's great. I'm happy to hear that. Now I want to switch subjects. And I think maybe we're cutting California short because in today's paper, the California Department of Auditors and Investigations completed a July to December study of last year, and they identified $427,000 of inappropriate expenditures. Now, it doesn't say this, but I suspect that they're going to recover that money and throw it towards the homeless problem. Doesn't that make you feel good? You know, that's pennies.
Yes. Inappropriate? Is that what you said? Inappropriate spending?
Oh,
is that
yeah.
What it was?
Heck yeah. One guy that's on there, in one case, this guy, he's with the prison department. He accessed 2,200 YouTube videos while he was on there. Another one charged him, I don't know, $42,000 for transportation for 2 years for costs of airfare, rental cars, meals, lodging, and other costs for commuting from San Diego to Sacramento.
Wow, sounds like they need to keep on doing these audits so they can clean up and get rid of these people and they can get some jail time and repay what they spent, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, they won't do that. They'll suspend them and let them have their CalPERS.
Well, and the thing is, too, those are the little guys. You got to go
yep.
after the big fish, too. Got to work your way up the food chain.
Well, that was my point. You know, this is just something to deflect, you know.
Yep.
Like I say, $427,000, that's peanuts.
That's nothing.
There is so much more graft going on.
Yep. Especially when they claim that they have billions of dollars in surplus now in California versus the debt that we know we have. Is that why we still have potholes everywhere?
No, I think that's because they just legalized pot.
Oh.
Isn't it legal now in California? All of a sudden you got potholes all over the place, or is that opiate addicts? Anyway, what I want to switch the subject to again is I am on a tear about a 1 cent tax for a jail only in Shasta County. And my point is, from San Diego to Seattle, they have combined the homeless problem with the criminal problem, and they're throwing big bucks at it, and nothing is getting solved. It is my opinion we need to separate the two. We need to say, homeless, you're over here. We'll fix that problem as best we can. Criminals, you're over here. You know, in Jefferson, you people that aren't in Shasta County, I'm sure you have the same problems as us, the same perpetrators of crimes time after time after time, and they want to coddle them and talk them into going to rehab, and don't you feel bad about what you did? Oh, okay, we'll let you go now, and they pick them up. We've got people that have been arrested 25 and 30 times in Shasta County.
57, one of them.
And I'm suggesting a 1 cent dedicated sales tax to a jail that could only be spent on a jail, its staffing, and its maintenance. That would require a two-thirds majority to pass, but that's all they could use this money on. We could have a 500-bed jail in Shasta County, in my opinion, in less than 2 years, and we could lock up these scallywags. And when we get all the scallywags locked up, then we can go help the homeless, the ones that need our help, that would accept our help.
Well, I think that you made a great point yesterday on the radio, and it really was something that resonated with me, and I think you hit it spot on when you made the comment that, you know, you don't want to rehab the guy who's 35 to 40 years old, who's got
Falcon
tattoos
Eddie.
All over his body, and he's a career criminal. You don't want to spend the money to rehab him. Lock him up. And I think, you know, that sounded maybe a little hard, but you know what? There's so much truth to that. It's like, okay, if the guy's going to rehab, then put him away for 15 years. Let him rehab in prison. and let him get it out of his system there. Point is that I thought that was just a really great point, and I think that it was a great point also that you made yesterday, in that you were separating the two. You were separating the homeless and the criminal element, and I think you're absolutely spot on when it comes to going after the criminal element first. Go after the criminal element first. A lot of the homeless people that have been around here for a long time, you know, a lot of people know who they are, and they are homeless, okay. And so, you know, and they're not really seeking help, but they're homeless, but they're not really the criminal element you're talking about. I know in Shasta County we have, what, Nick, is it 300 or 350 that have been arrested dozens of times, and violent crimes, burglaries, assaults?
Well, maybe a little counseling would help.
Well, point being is I think you hit the nail on the head. With that, I really do, and I think there has to be. That's the one thing that we just aren't separating out. And I applaud you for the tough talk. I really do. I applaud you for that tough talk. I think it's something that needs to be done.
Well, I have a question too. Okay, so hypothetically, we get this 1 cent sales tax passed. So who's going to account for the monies coming in and the monies going out?
Well, you know, when that's. That's a good question, and my thoughts are, when you write the initiative on the ballot, and I'm pleading for our county supervisors to write it. I don't have time to go out and get 5,000 votes and shove something down their throats. I'm counting on them representing us because that's what we elected them for. It could be said that each time a new grand jury is seated, the first thing they do is look at the income and the expenditures from the jail. And that way the jail would have them all in order because they know they're expected each year. And they could look at it and say, okay, you took in $30 million. You spent it here and here and here. Okay, this looks good. Let's move on.
Okay, so I guess my concern is making sure that when the monies come in, that they're not being pilfered off, or a portion of it or any of it is pilfered off to go to the general fund to fill a huge void there.
Well, if it's a dedicated tax, that's against the law.
But that's a two-thirds.
Well, that's the problem because, you know, they could behind the scenes do what they're going to do, and we would not know that. That's my concern.
That's why the grand jury would look at it each year and, hey, how come this money over here, this $200,000, went to expenses to go to a seminar down in San Francisco. This doesn't have anything to do with the jail.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Then you have to look, and you're right about all that. So you've got to also look at a prosecution. I don't know if a sunset clause would work in this or not, but here's the other thing, too. You get the jail built, all that stuff, then they start skimming the money. You know, that's there's many things where we need safeguards. Also, the expenditure of the jail, what's to say there couldn't be a new added expenditure? I mean, if you have people that are controlling the money, you know, and some people said, well, you know, we could have an oversight committee of folks that are just folks in the community. Well, you can't because they don't have the jurisdiction
right to
spend the money. They don't have the jurisdiction to do anything with the money. It's the elected officials. So,
well, it's my opinion when this if this initiative gets written, that there should be four or five of us citizens that sit down with the supervisors, and this is how we want it written.
I agree. Good point.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
And
yeah.
Things have to change because I'm not satisfied, and I haven't talked to anybody that's satisfied with the status quo. I've talked to 20 people, and I'm going to talk to more, and there's only one that said they would not vote for a 1 cent sales tax spent on the jail only.
What's your thought process? What do you think about the navigation center? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, boy, isn't that going to be rainbows and unicorns? They're going to have 120 people down there, and 60 of them's voluntary, and 60 of them aren't voluntary. Yahoo! That'll clean up Henderson Open Spot, but you've still got a homeless camp up at Lake Boulevard and one down by the casino at Clear Creek.
Well,
and
you know,
there's homeless camps that smaller ones that we don't even know about.
Well, actually, you know, you make a very good point. But you know, if we just what you said, think about what you just said, and then think about that what was said a little while ago, and that is that we have around 350 criminals that are out there that are arrested. One of them 57 times. times. Now, if you only have 120 beds, and like you said, 60 go in because they, you know, they want to go in and get help, and 60 bad guys are in there because apparently the bad guys can go in there too, you still have 290 of these people. I agree with you. I think we need to take care of the criminal element first, the chronic offenders first. That's where we should be concentrating our money, that and in a jail. The idea of having this navigation center is good. The challenge of it is that, again, the point you made, the 35 to 40-year-old guy with tattoos all over his body that's a career criminal, why spend the money to rehab him? He doesn't want to rehab.
Okay, well, I have a question, too. The expense of building a jail, which would be in the millions and millions of dollars, what about, you know, state or county or city property that's currently owned and vacant, not being used for anything, not near a residential area or business area, just, you know, out somewhere semi-remote, if you will? Why not create a camp there? You know, I'm kind of going like the tent city type thing or whatever. And especially during the summer months here, make it not comfortable for the guys that get put there. So when they realize that, you know, it's no more getting three squares and a cot at the jail that's air-conditioned, because that's probably when the crimes go up so they can be housed in the jail. But if they're housed out there in this camp of some sort, wouldn't that be a deterrent when they realize this is not what I want to be doing, and they're out there pulling weeds, and they're doing all the stuff to maintain that site, and they're taking care of it, and they're put to work, and they don't have a choice. They are forced to work to take care of business and keep it running. It's run by the prisoners. It's not run by paid staff of any kind, as far as, you know, the maintenance of the facility. Why couldn't something like that work? That would be a great deterrent for Shasta County, so that way these criminals would go elsewhere. It would just keep, it would be a repellent. They would go somewhere else and
hey,
just
you know
on.
What, Wynn? Falcon Eddie with tattoos all the way up to his shoulders and a couple on his face, he's going to laugh at you. I don't pull weeds.
That's
you know,
right.
I was just watching up in Seattle. They have, I think, three dedicated, I don't call them campgrounds because they have small houses for them, that the occupants were maintaining the property, keeping it picked up and making sure there's litter and that kind of stuff. Well, they went on strike because I think it was the city started locking it up at night and they didn't like it. So we're going to stay here and live in this place, but we're not going to clean up after it themselves anymore.
Well, that's true. And the other thing is, too, is if you don't adhere with prisoners or anything like that, if you don't adhere to regulations that California has and you're the sheriff, the county can get sued. And I know that the county is always worried about getting sued. Because it's just like, you know, I've asked the sheriff before. I said, well, wouldn't you like to have the bologna sandwich and pink underwear that Sheriff Arpaio is able to do there in Arizona? He said, well, in California, you can't do that. I mean, you know, it's just the laws and regulations in California are out of hand to where the criminal has a better shot at justice than the law-abiding citizen. I mean, it's terrible.
Okay, well, with that said, then we need Jefferson yesterday.
We do need Jefferson yesterday, but I think you're absolutely right. Ashley, is Sovereign Minds happening today? Or
I believe they're going to do a rerun and encore presentation.
Can we? Is it possible that we can overlap into the next hour at all?
Let's take the hard break, and I will try to contact Mark and see what's going on.
We don't have to go for the whole thing, but I want to keep Nick on a little bit longer.
Ashley
could
do it. She is the magic.
Well, because I like that. I think this is a really good subject, and if we can get maybe the first 15 or 20 minutes of Sovereign Minds, then we can get an idea, you know, after the news, Nick. So if you hang on there, we'll let you know. But I think that that'd be really good, because I think this discussion is good, and I'd like to hear more of your thoughts.
That'd be great. I'd be happy to hold on, because I've got a lot more thoughts.
Uh-oh.
Some of them are angry.
No. You got to control your anger here.
But, I mean, you know.
I
just want us
too.
Represented. That's all I want. I want us represented.
Let Ashley do her thing.
And
like
I want to go steady with Sharon.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, we'll let her know that. But anyway, Time has come for 51, and so, Nick, hang on there, buddy. We'll get back to you, okay?
I have so much fun with you guys.
Keep in mind, she owns a company called Bullet Guard.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
I'll try.
Sharon is not a wallflower.
She's not a wallflower. No.
We don't know you or what you face.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health.